Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
So it says this, let's start in verse 33. Either make a tree good and its fruits good, or make a tree bad and its fruits bad, for a tree is known by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and an evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Father, as we turn our attention to your word today, we ask that you would speak clearly to us. Let us understand what you are after in this passage, and let our hearts be molded by your word. I thank you for it. I ask that it would go forth and accomplish what you want to purpose in your heart today with the word. And we just thank you for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So there's going to be a day of judgment. Isn't that exciting to know? All of us get to have this encounter with the Lord, and we get to have a conversation about our words. Aren't you excited about that? And so, a long time ago, I was telling a joke while I was doing a sermon, and it didn't go over very well. And at the end of the sermon, a very godly person came up and said, "Do you know that every word that you give, you will give an account for?" I sure enjoyed that, because that shut down my whole entire comedy of doing sermons. I thought, wow, I can't even tell jokes because I'm going to have to talk with Jesus about this joke, or my attitude towards football teams, or what I say about politicians. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is going to be a terrible conversation I'm going to have with Jesus. Now, is that what Jesus is actually talking about in the passage? What I decided to do, I was actually studying a specific concept in Scripture, and one of the words that's used in the Greek for this type of word is now in this passage. And as I was studying the passage, it made sense what Jesus was after. And so what we want to do is we want to take a moment and just look closely at verse 36 specifically. I tell you the truth, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. So let's start with the fun word, judgment. Very interesting enough, this weekend I've been talking at several different meetings about the concept of biblical judgment. I'm amazed on how many people understand one aspect of it, but don't understand the other aspect of it. So when usually you say judgment to people, everybody's thinking of the negative side, where God has to make a pronouncement, or he has to deal with people because of their sin, and they only see that. So let's be intensely biblical about the word judgment. Every decision that God makes, good or negative, is the judgment of God. So when God called you by name, that was a judgment to redeem you. That was a positive thing. When God moves in your life in an answer to prayer, that means he's sitting on a throne, and as the judge of the universe, he is making a decision to bless you. And so the idea that judgment only has to do with the negative is a overextending of the idea of judgment. Also, that we understand this passage so it's not taken out of context, we already realized by the whole counsel of Scripture that you've already gone through the process of a judgment if you've come to Christ. So in the future, on the day of judgment, you are not going to be given an account for all your sins, because you've already been dealt with that in human history if you've accepted Christ. So what is the passage actually dealing with here? On the day of judgment. So the word judgment here means either a positive verdict of righteousness or a positive or a negative verdict of condemnation. And it's saying that on that day, that is what God is going to be doing in that situation. And it says that people, humanity, is going to be standing before him, And this is literally going to be what we would call the end of the age, the end of time, and a new beginning of something. And so God is wanting to put an end to everything on that day of judgment. In fact, it even tells you that. It says that people will give an account. Now, the word account here comes from the Greek word, lego, where we get the word, but it actually, in this specific one, lego, you know, the blocks we put together, that's the Greek word here. It means to bring to a conclusion to something. So we're actually finding out on the day of judgment from this right here, Jesus is saying, look, everything that's gone on in human history, I have to bring it to a final conclusion. That's why he's doing this, because what's coming in the new age, we are not to look back at ever again and say, well, that still happened to me in the past. There, it's just over. God's going to bring it to a conclusion. All that has been done in this existence is going to be brought to a conclusion by God on that day. Now, let's keep moving forward. It says this. It says, people will give an account for every careless word. Now, this word careless is kind of interesting. This doesn't mean if you say, I want to go to McDonald's instead of Wendy's, you've got to give Jesus an account for that because that was a careless word. It doesn't mean because you decided to go see a movie or something else and you picked the really bad movie, Jesus is going, now why did you go see that movie? This was a better movie. That's not what he's talking about. Careless word here, it actually has some impact on it. It's argos, and it means an inactive or an idle word. Now, this is important because when we get to the word, it's going to make sense. But he's saying not every word carries the same impact in the final day. Me deciding whether I'm going to get tea or coffee doesn't have any weight to it. He's now beginning to say there are certain words that have power behind them that God's going to have a conversation with you and I about. And he's talking here now about these words not coming to fruition. So now it's beginning to say that certain words have certain realities to them that God wants us to know about. And that's what's going to be talked to us about in the day of judgment that we're going to be held accountable for. So isn't that interesting? There's a category of words that you and I discuss and have conversations with people about. And every person on the world has these types of conversations that's what we're going to be talking to the Lord about on the day of judgment. I find that fascinating. So what are these words that Jesus says we have to actually give an account for? And he calls them careless words. Well, let's look at the word work. Here in the Greek, it's the word rhema. Now, as I presented this word to you before, if you've never heard this, this is the first time you've ever heard it, a rhema word is different than conversational speaking. A rhema word comes from the supernatural realm. So it either comes from God, and when God gives a rhema, this is where we get the idea of God speaking to us, this is where prophecy comes out of, those words change things. Now, the fuller word of a rhema means it depends on the source of a rhema, but the enemy actually speaks words also. And when we come into agreement with those, that releases the kingdom of darkness into a situation. And so now let's look at the passage. Jesus is saying, in the future, there's going to be a conversation, and the conversation is going to be with your words that align with the supernatural realm and the impact that it has on the world. And he says, and you're going to give an account for rhemas that are given to you. Isn't that a lot different than Jesus having to give an account like where I went on vacation? So Jesus is saying, words from the supernatural are actually coming to you. They're speaking to you, and either you're not speaking them or you're speaking the wrong word and it's having an impact. And that's what you and I are going to be given an account for with the Lord in the future. So that means that this is saying to us, every word is not going to be judged, but every rhema word is going to be given account for. It is going to be brought to conclusion what realm I function out of. That's why in the passage earlier, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he says, now look, this is why you say I move out of the kingdom of darkness. Because what's in you, the supernatural realm is able to tap into it. It's evil, and you speak that from that realm. Because what's in you has not been transformed into goodness. It's the reservoir of it is evil. So when an evil word from the supernatural realm comes, you speak it. because out of your heart you live in it. And he says, I'm going to hold you accountable for that. But he's also saying for the believers, which I think is really important, I'm going to actually have you give an account for the words that come from me that you speak also. And so that actually means for the person that speaks rhema words that are from the evil one, they're going to be held accountable for that effect. And for you and I, when we're speaking life-giving words, we're going to be what? Commended for those words before the Lord. He's actually going to make a note of it and say, now when you came into agreement and you said a blessing over this person or over your child and that was initiated from me, it caused a rippling effect of my kingdom to be released in your life and the person that you spoke to. Now, wouldn't it make sense from Jesus that at some point the language and the things that we speak, we would actually have to talk to the Lord about this in some measure? Because the Bible is really specific. Remember, not conversational words are we held accountable for, but for rhema words. So that actually means that God actually does have certain words that have certain impacts of life and death that he expects us to understand, participate with him, weigh him, and be held accountable for him before his throne. And this isn't just us. This is all of humanity. All of humanity is going to do that because the Bible begins to say life and death is in what? Power of the tongue. So, let's not take that to extremes. If I root for the Broncos and the Chiefs beat them, the power of life and death is not in that. Those are just conversational words. Somehow on this, I don't believe that. But the reality of it is, it's the words that come from the Lord. It's the words that come from the enemy. Those have the power of life, or releasing a sense of death or destruction over people. Those are the things Jesus wants us to understand. We'll be talking with him about in the future. Now, for the believer, just so we can work through this, the judgment day, this day of judgment, we already find out from the writings of Paul, is going to be different for you and I. If we're not going to be condemned, none of our sins are going to be held against us, that means that we're going to be having conversations with the Lord about words that he has given us that have come from him and the impact that it has had on people's lives. The transformation that you and I have been invited into with his word is actually, ready, the foreordained blessing that God wants to give you so that on that day you get to see the effect of walking with Jesus just by what you say to people. Now, remember, culturally, our culture is very much into the works of Jesus in the sense of serving people and caring for people and sowing into people's lives. And I am not against that. I think that's part of the kingdom. But here Jesus is saying, well, look, even your words have that kind of effect. So how you and I communicate with people and how we try to hear from the Lord and speak to people, this has a profound effect that Jesus wants us to recognize. And that's why in this passage, even though he's dealing with the Pharisees, he's trying to drive home a point here. Your sacrifice to try to hear from the Lord and to bless other people is being paid attention to in heaven, and you and Jesus are going to be having a conversation with it about it. I find that dynamic in the sense of thinking that this is very important to the Lord, and so there are certain words that you and Jesus are going to be talking about. Several years ago, I was invited to this prayer conference that was going on in Texas, and the main speaker, I was just one of workshop speakers. Well, the main speaker had gotten done. It was my time to go into a session. And if you're always a workshop speaker, you get after lunch. That's usually when everyone's exhausted, they're about to fall asleep, and I was given that slot. And so I was teaching on something about rhema words, how rhema words transform people. And I'm looking over the audience, and I kept seeing the Lord actually pointing out a lady in the very back row. And so as I'm trying to do the sermon, I'm asking the Lord, well, what do you want me to say to her? Where's your heart for this lady? And so the Lord basically says, well, just have her stand up. So I have her stand up. I'm looking at her, and I'm telling her stuff. And as I'm telling her, you can actually pay attention to more than one person. I'm noticing that the people on the front row are not happy about what I'm telling her. Like, God calls you holy in his sight. He's going to transform your life. You're going to be considered a blessing of the Lord. Now, you think everyone would think that was great information, but the front row was not very happy with me when I was saying that to her. I finished, she also did this really fun thing where she collapsed in front of everybody and sobbed really loud, so it finished the meeting. So on the front row was the pastor of the church, and so I thought he was going to come up and go, "That was really good work, Brian. Thank you for doing that." He actually says, "Brian, could you come with me to my office?" Now, if you do any type of ministering to people, if you have someone say, "Can I have you come to my office?" That's like going to the principal's office when you're in grade school. And I thought, "Oh no, what did I do?" And so I walk into the office with him, and we sit down, and he's talking with me, and he says, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why did you pick out that lady and give that word to her?" That's actually kind of a weird question, isn't it? I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, everyone on the front row is on the leadership team. We've gone through one of the hardest seasons of our church life, and you gave none of them any encouraging words, but you gave, and he emphasized, that woman an encouraging word. Did you do that?" He goes, "Doesn't God care anything about any of these people?" And I'm like, "Well, of course he does. But in that meeting, he wanted that lady to receive an encouraging word." He says, "Well, let me tell you about this lady." I said, "Okay." She's been coming to church for the last couple of years, and she is our biggest problem person. She has exasperated me. She's exasperated anybody on staff. She's worn us all out. She's the reason we're worn out. She caused problems constantly in the church, where we always have to either be counseling her or disciplining her, and you're calling her out and saying, in God's sight, God sees you as holy, God's going to meet you, and God's going to transform you, and he says, "Now, is that fair?" Now, what do you say in those situations? I thought about saying, "Well, I'm sorry," but I said, "Well, in this situation, I guess you can hold me accountable for it. Let's see the fruit of it." And he said, "Okay," he says, are you going to minister to my leadership?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll do it in some other meeting, but that's what happened in that meeting." He's like, "Okay." And if you have these kind of encounters, if you guys ever get to have these encounters, you leave thinking, "Well, that's the last time I'm going to that church." And so I'm home. I even shared with my wife, I had this really interesting exchange, and this lady fell down, and I'm just kind of going on with the next stuff I'm doing. About a month and a half later, I get an email from that pastor. I open it up. "Brian, I guess I need to apologize to you because we didn't understand what God was doing in that situation." He said, "When you gave her that word, we believed that she was going to come into a cycle of being empowered with boldness to even be worse than she was. But she said the love of God hit her so powerfully that it broke something in her that made her cause all these problems that the counselors couldn't get to." He goes, "I don't know what it's going to look like a couple months from now, but she has changed. She now is moving towards cooperating with counselors. She stopped causing conflicts, and she says she sees herself for the first time the way the Lord sees her. And it's melted her heart to want to walk with him instead of being in contention with him and with the body of Christ." Now think about that. We try to minister to people. We feel like we're very feeble in it, but yet God knows that these words that he gives are life transforming. And you guys ready? I can't wait till the day of judgment to stand before the Lord and review that situation and watch how that's been played out. And that's what Jesus wants to encourage you with about these words that he's given you, or these words that you and I participate in. They are going to be a thing of rejoicing in the day of judgment, not a, "Oh no, I've got to talk to the Lord about that." Now for the person that doesn't know the Lord, it's going to be a different situation. But for you and I, it's going to be this place of absolute rejoicing of thinking, in my brokenness, in my feebleness, Jesus gave me words to speak to one another and to encourage people, and it caused an avalanche and a rippling effect that will go on for eternity. And I get to stand before him and have a conversation with him about that. Now, I want to do that, don't you? All right. So with that, let's turn our attention to words from the Lord. to start with this. If you're dealing with lung problems today, and the way the Lord described it to me was, he started out with people that just have not just breathing problems, but like asthma or something like that, or if you have any kind of allergies that cause problems with breathing, or any type of lung problems, would you stand? The Lord wants to minister to you. Now, if this is from him, let's just extend our hands and just welcome him to come and do his work. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? And release the power of your healing presence into their lungs. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break the power of weakness and infirmity, and we command it to lift off of them. Now, Lord, let life come back into their lungs right now and restore them in the name of Jesus. Release your power. Release more of your presence over them. And Lord, I ask that the law of the Spirit of life would just begin a work inside of him until it's brought to completion. Complete this work of restoration with them, Lord, and bring them into wholeness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty one. Just bless your name. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If you're dealing with pain in your gums. I actually got specifically inflammation, but pain in the gums. If you have that, would you stand, please? The Lord would like to release his power over you. Pain in your gums. Sorry you're dealing with that. Holy Spirit, bring your healing power and presence into their mouth and into their gums right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's interesting. Would you bring a sense of life and renewal back into their gums and into their teeth right now? And just the weakness and the pain and inflammation, we just command that to leave them right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would restore them, O Lord. We bless what you're doing in their life. Now, things that are not, make them as though they are. Take them from this place to a place of strength inside this part of their body and restore them, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you're having restricted movements in your fingers, the way the Lord was showing it to me was it was either arthritis or it was an inflammation from a nerve problem. But if you have restriction in your fingers, would you stand? The Lord like to minister to you. Sorry you're dealing with that. Put your hands up and receive from the Lord, please. Holy Spirit, come. Release your power and your presence over their bodies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I ask, Lord, that the law of the Spirit of life would set them free from this. That you would work almost like a healing salve into their nerves and into their joints and begin the restoration into their limbs right now. This is what you've done for us on the cross, Lord. Bring us the benefit of Christ's suffering. And we bless you. And we thank you for your goodness, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. May be seated. Ma'am, what's your name? Would you stand, please? So, isn't Jesus fun? During worship, though, I actually saw the Lord. It was actually funny. It was like he was running through a field to get to you. And he actually told me that you were in pursuit of him, but he's in pursuit of you. And I actually saw something about your life he wanted me to share. He wanted me to tell you that the stuff that you have been going through has not been just the work of the enemy. It has been a refining process of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I actually saw coming out of your inner being this beautiful white diamond. And he was actually telling me the white diamond was your destiny. And the stuff that you've been going through has actually been refining you right now so that that can actually be placed on your finger because it's coming forth. And he wanted me to tell you that not only is it coming forth, it's going to have power and it's going to be recognized and it's going to be a beautiful thing that Jesus is actually doing in your life. And he also wanted me to tell you that the stuff that's going on in your family, he's not left you or abandoned you in that situation either, but he's going to step in and resolve that. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And in worship, he showed me this beautiful diamond ring.
Okay.
that he gave me.
Isn't that beautiful? That's just awesome. So put your hands up. Isn't Jesus cool? All right. So, Lord Jesus, come to your daughter and just bless her right now. Oh, he also wanted me to tell you that the season of just pursuing is going to come into a season of rest. You need to recognize that the shalom of the Lord is going to rest over you, and you're going to recognize the blessing of the Lord in every area of your life. Where it seems like you've had a hotly pursued, he says, now you're going to come into the rest of it. And so, Lord, let this come forth in your daughter right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's also said that you've been faithful before his throne to cry out to him on the behalf of others. He's made a note of that, and he's going to return the blessing of the Lord to you also. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that. I ask that your goodness and your mercy would rest upon your daughter. Thank you for acknowledging what she has done before you and loving her in the presence of all of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.